Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at WBEZ.org/events.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Picture this, you're filling out your primary election ballot and you reach a long list of judges? Yeah, candidates for president, the House, and state Senate might be familiar to you, but why are Cook County residents voting for so many circuit court judges? How do you know which judges are qualified or which judges share your core values? Well, to help clear that up for us, I sat down with Jonah Newman, managing editor for the nonprofit newsroom in Justice Watch. He starts with how judicial elections work in Cook County.
Every 2 years, voters are asked to vote for judges to fill vacancies that have come up on the bench through retirements, deaths, people losing election. And so that happens in the primary. Mm-hmm. Judicial elections are partisan. So we're Cook County. Most people run as Democrats. So if you are pulling a Republican ballot, you're going to see only a handful of candidates and only if you live in the northwest suburbs. But if you pull a Democratic ballot, you're going to see vacancies on the Supreme Court, appellate court, and circuit court level. And we can break down a little bit what those different parts of the court system mean. You know, the winner of the Democratic primary is typically, most of them are unopposed, running in November.
I see. And we will get to that in just a minute. But what about judicial sub-circuits? What's that?
In addition to, you know, everyone knows you live in a ward, a state senate district, a congressional district, you also live in a judicial sub-circuit. Cook County is divided into 20 sub-circuits. That's actually new this year. Okay. The state legislature just added five new sub-circuits last year. These are geographic districts. If there's an open vacancy in your sub-circuit, which there are in most sub-circuits this year, you will see one, two, maybe three sub-circuit races on the ballot. Judges who are elected from a sub-circuit have to live in that sub-circuit when they're first elected. After that, it doesn't make a difference for their, you know, where they're going to be placed, what division they're going to preside in. All judges elected, whether countywide or in a sub-circuit, have the same jobs. Yeah. But the idea was to diversify the bench. They were first created in the early 90s. Because, you know, they wanted to add more diversity to the ranks of judges.
And I'm glad you're giving this extra context, right? Because fast forward to March 19th, which is just 8 days away, Jonah, there are folks who have not already early voted and are planning on voting on Election Day. So just so we're clear, how many judges are in the running altogether?
Yeah, so there are 69 candidates total, but no one's going to see all of them on their ballot, right? We'll all have one Supreme Court race, four appellate court races, and I think 11 countywide circuit court races.
Okay.
And then the rest, again, depends on where you live. So you may have one or two sub-circuit races on your ballot as well. That's, you know, again, depending on where you live.
Time to break down those courts, right? So we have the Illinois Supreme Court, the appellate court, as you mentioned, and the circuit court. What power do they each have?
Absolutely. So the Illinois Supreme Court, obviously the highest court in the state. If a case gets appealed up through the courts, the Supreme Court sort of has the ultimate say, right? They also have the ability to appoint judges to fill vacancies until the next election. So you'll see in our election guide this year, there's a lot of candidates who are actually already justices, already judges on the court because they were appointed by the Illinois Supreme Court to fill that seat until this election. The appellate court obviously hears cases that are appealed from the circuit courts, and the circuit courts are really the entry point to the judicial system, right? Mm-hmm. And they hear cases from traffic to divorce, child custody, criminal cases, obviously, you know, civil lawsuits, right? Runs the gamut. Mm-hmm. If you file any kind of lawsuit or, you know, are sued in any capacity, you're going to first end up before a circuit court judge.
So what would you say are some of the most important factors that people should consider when they're voting to elect a judge? What should we keep in mind?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's difficult because unlike other politicians who are running for election, right, judges are actually limited in what they can say, right? They can't talk about issues that might come before them on the bench, right? They can't say they're going to rule one way or another on a certain topic. What they can talk about is their values. They can talk about, you know, improving the justice system more broadly. Mm-hmm. You know, we, in our judicial election guide, feature sort of, you know, what types of law have they practiced in the past, which can give you a sense of, you know, their experience level and what kinds of cases they've handled and, you know, whether they've been a plaintiff's attorney or a defense attorney, a prosecutor. So, you know, we look at some of those things. You can look at, there are bar associations. Those are groups of lawyers that do evaluations of judicial candidates that talk about, again, they sort of talk to lawyers about their experience with these different candidates and whether they think their experience or sort of demeanor and, you know, how they handle themselves in court makes them qualified or not for the bench.
And all of this we can find in the Injustice Watch Judicial Voting Guide, right?
Exactly. So we put together a guide. Our team spends months researching these candidates, looking into that information, right? Past controversies that they've had, you know, high profile cases they've handled, what kind of law they've practiced, even where they went to law school. Put all of that together in our judicial election guide, which you can find online at injusticewatch.org/checkyourjudges. In our guide, you can put in your address, so you can find out what sub-circuit you're in, see all the races that are going to show up on your ballot, read about all the candidates, and then go through and actually decide who you want to vote for. And you can download or print a copy of your sort of personal ballot and bring that with you into the voting booth if you want.
Earlier, you mentioned 69 judges are on the ballot to fill 45 vacancies. So this is an unusually low number of candidates. Is that right?
Yeah. In past years, we've had, you know, upwards of 100 candidates running for judge in a primary.
So what's different?
Yeah, we talked to, you know, candidates themselves, experts, you know, judges on the Illinois Supreme Court, politicians. I think there's a few factors. One is, you know, just sort of general political fatigue, I think. And I think we'll probably see that in terms of turnout numbers this year generally. I think people are just kind of sick of politics this year. You know, there's also some factors, including the, you know, I mentioned earlier, the Illinois Supreme Court can appoint judges to fill a vacancy until the next election. And so a lot of the candidates running this year have been appointed. A lot of those appointed candidates also have the endorsement of the Cook County Democratic Party in the countywide races. And so I think that it was sort of a deterrent for people to try to challenge those candidates, right? Because they have sort of the backing and the political support already. So I think a number of factors made it sort of, and on top of that, apparently it's getting a lot more expensive to run. You know, you have to circulate petitions and get signatures, and the paid circulators who do a lot of that work are charging more than they have before. So I think those are some other factors as well.
Yeah, interesting. Are there, despite all of that, any standout candidates this year? Any folks that we should keep an eye on or that you are keeping an eye on?
Yeah, so, you know, we wrote about, you know, and I just heard mentioned in the news segment, the Illinois Supreme Court race, right? So, again, it's sort of a rare opening on the Illinois Supreme Court. You have Joy Cunningham, who is the appointed candidate, who's been serving for a couple of years, and Jesse Reyes, who's an Illinois appellate court justice, who has run before, actually, for the Supreme Court. That's an interesting race that has, you know, really brought out questions of race and representation on the Illinois Supreme Court. Jesse Reyes is running, you know, with focus on his Latino heritage and wanting to be the first Latino judge on the Illinois Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. You know, down ballot, I think, you know, we're actually publishing in the next couple of days some stories about a few different sub-circuit races that, again, are really raising questions about what is the point of a sub-circuit? What does it mean to be of a community or part of a community and to have judges who represent a community on the bench? I think those are interesting questions that have sort of, as the number of sub-circuits has grown and the sub-circuit boundaries have changed, I think has become more interesting.
You mentioned right off the top that some candidates are slated or endorsed by the Democratic Party. Some say that candidates who didn't receive an endorsement, though, they're running against a platinum state. What does that mean? And what does it say about politics in Illinois?
Yeah, so again, I think the Cook County Democratic Party's kind of focus over the last several years has changed. We talked for one of our stories with Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, who also chairs the county's Democratic Party. And she spoke about really wanting to make sure that the candidates that they're slating are sort of unbeatable, right? That they have high qualifications. They are looking more and more for diverse candidates to back for the bench. She was the one, I think, who used that phrase platinum slate. You know, they really want to make sure that it's, you know, it's a group of candidates that can't be beaten.
I see.
One of the things when you are slated by the Democratic Party, you pledge to contribute, I think it's now $45,000 to the Democratic Party's coffers, which then kind of gets spread around to all of the candidates running with the Democratic Party's support this year.
Got about 20 seconds. What do you want to leave folks with before the primary, voters who are listening?
Yeah, again, you know, I really want to encourage folks to use our guide. Again, that's injusticewatch.org. And, you know, research these candidates. We talk about judges are the elected officials you're most likely to encounter in your daily life. And I think it's really important to make it all the way down the ballot and make an informed choice.
Jonah Newman is managing editor for Injustice Watch. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Ellie Gilbert Baer. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. Come back to the pod this afternoon for our weekly news recap, where we share what you need to know about the biggest stories in Chicago and Illinois. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.